Genesis chapter 5 this evening. We want to read a few verses out. We'll read this chapter. And bear with me as I read. I'm going to get a verse down here and try to preach on the subject the Lord had me to tonight. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1. The Bible says, "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him." So man is made in the likeness of God. Dogs are not, cats are not, birds are not, fish are not made in the likeness of God, but man is. Okay? "Male and female created he them, and blessed them." I wonder why God made a man and a woman. He didn't make two males and two females and put them together. He put a man and a woman together. And we have an initiative coming up, a proposition. We need to vote for one man and one woman in marriage. Amen. But he created them male and female, blessed them, and called their name Adam. So women are Adam and men are Adam, I guess. Amen. "In the day when they were created, Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he begat Seth were 800 years and he begat sons and daughters." Somebody asked me one time where Cain got his wife. I guess he had to marry one of his sisters. And that was a hard question for a newborn babe in Christ, but that's what I told the man that asked me that. "And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Seth lived 105 years, begat Enos. Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died." Everybody's dying because of Adam's transgression. Verse 9, "And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years. He begat sons and daughters. All the days of Enos were 905 years and he died. Canaan lived 70 years, begat Mahalalel. And the Canaan lived after he begat Mahalalel." And it's hard to say some of these names, but he lived 840 years and begat sons and daughters. Now, if you was begetting sons and daughters for 800 years, you'd have a lot of sons and daughters, I imagine. Verse 14 says, "And all the days of Canaan were 910 years and he died. Mahalalel lived 65 years, begat Jared. Mahalalel lived after begat Jared 830 years, begat sons and daughters. All the days of Mahalalel were 895 years and he died. Jared lived 162 years, begat Enoch. Jared lived after begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. All the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years, begat sons and daughters. All the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died." He's the oldest living man that's recorded in the scripture. "And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son and called his name Noah, saying, This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters." I want you to notice here that Lamech lived 595 years. He begat sons and daughters. "And all the days of Lamech were 777 years and he died. And Noah was 500 years old. And Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth." And of course, After Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth, after his 500th year, then God spoke to him to build an ark. And of course, he worked on that ark for 100 years, he and his son, so he was over 600 years old when the flood came, so his daddy had died off. Okay, his daddy was not alive when the flood came. And so the godly line, the godly crowd had all died off except Noah when the flood came. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But I want to go back to verse 21 tonight. The Bible says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after begat Methuselah 300 years, begat sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now I want to preach tonight on Enoch's testimony just for a little while that he had in the scriptures, and pray that God be my helper tonight as we preach. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as I bow before you, I love you, and I thank you again for the privilege it is to be back tonight in your house. I pray, Lord, that you'd, Lord, help me to write and divide the scriptures. Lord, please cleanse me of all my sins and fill me with your spirit. Lord, I pray that you'd clothe me in the calling you placed upon my life and anoint me, Father, tonight to preach. Lord, I realize tonight that I'm a needy person. God, I need you tonight to help me. I pray, Father, for our people that's here tonight, Lord, your people that have come to your house to worship you. God, I pray that you'd bless them and meet supply needs in their hearts and lives. Father, I pray that you'd encourage each of your people that belongs to this church, that comes to this church. Lord, I pray that you'd encourage these families and help them in this day in which we live. Lord, I know that you're in control. I know that everything, Lord, is under your lordship, and I just pray, Father, that you'd help us to trust in you with all of our heart in these last days and be ready to go when you come. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Here in our text tonight, the Bible talks about Enoch being gone. He walked with God in verse 22 after he begat Methuselah 300 years. Begat sons and daughters. While he was begatting sons and daughters, he was walking with God, and he walked with God, amen, hand in hand with the Lord for 300 years. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. He walked with God and was not, because for God took him. And so there was one day Enoch was walking with God, and the next day he was gone. Now I don't know how God took him, but the Bible says that God took him. God translated him into heaven. And I want to preach just for a little while on Enoch's testimony. And first of all, we just read verse 22 through 24. We have Enoch's walk of faith. Enoch was a man of faith. He trusted in the Lord. He was saved. He trusted in God with all of his heart. Over in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, Paul fills us in on some of Enoch's life when he says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. So we know that Enoch is a type of the church in that he was raptured out. He was caught out without having to die a physical death. And so he was translated, the Bible says, there by God. And so by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch had a testimony in a lost and dying world. And you talking about living in a bad world, Enoch lived in a bad world. I mean, the violence had filled the land, and all the imagination and thoughts of men's heart was only evil continually. Before God destroyed this earth, it was waxing worse and worse. This world was getting worse and worse all the time. I'm talking about the old world before the flood. It was getting bad, amen. And Enoch loved God and walked with God, the Bible says, and God translated him. And he had a testimony among that that wicked crowd that he pleased God. What a testimony that would be for you and I, that if, as we walk in this wicked world in which we live, this wicked society in which we're a part of, if that same society would give us the praise of being a servant of God and standing for God even in the midst of all this opposition. Amen. And I tell you, our praise will come from the wicked a lot of times. What are you saying, preacher? I'm just saying, if the wicked's always speaking good of you, you're not living for God. But if they're saying, well, that's a real Christian, or that's a servant of God, or he's different than us, amen, or he's a nut, a religious nut, or whatever, to me, that's praise. When they call me a religious nut, amen, they're giving me a compliment. I'm talking about a lost society. And so the Bible says that Enoch was a man of faith. We see Enoch's faith. He walked by faith. In verse 6, Paul says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so we know that Enoch was a man of faith because he pleased God. He walked with God. He pleased God, so he had great faith. He had faith in the Lord. He trusted in the Lord with all of his heart. Are you trusting in the Lord tonight? Are you relying upon the promises of God? Are you believing in God and trusting in God to meet your needs and take care of you and save your soul eternally? Amen. Take you to heaven when you die. Is your faith in the Lord tonight? Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you read this Bible? Do you study this Bible? Is your faith increasing? Amen. Is your faith and trust in the Lord? If it is, amen, you may be walking with God like Enoch. And one of these days, the Lord may translate you out of here, amen. He's coming back and going to take his church, his bride, home to be with him. Now, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not yourselves, gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, I believe that Enoch was a saved man. You say, how did he get saved? By grace through faith. How did Abraham get saved? By grace through faith. Abraham believed God, it was counted unto him for righteousness. Believing God is faith. Trusting in God is faith. Amen. And Enoch trusted in God. He believed in God and listened to God and obeyed God and walked with God. He was a man of faith. And the just shall live by faith, the Bible says. Romans 4:1, the Bible says, what shall we say then that Abraham our father is pertaining the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath wherefore to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. God will not impute sin to the righteous man's life in his account anymore, but God has imputed righteousness to our account through faith in his Son. Now, I believe that Abraham had faith in the Son of God. I believe that Enoch had faith in the Son of God. I believe that Job had faith in the Son of God. What do you mean, preacher? The Son of God hadn't come to the earth yet. They knew he was coming. Amen. They knew he was going to walk this earth. They knew that he was going to redeem them. He knew that he was going to pay the sin debt. They knew that there was a Redeemer coming. Job says, I know that my Redeemer shall stand upon the earth in the latter days. Amen. And so Job knew about the Redeemer. Adam knew about the Redeemer. Abel knew about the Redeemer. All that godly line, that faith line, those that lived by faith and trusted in God, and Noah and all them, they knew about the Redeemer that was coming. And they looked forward to his coming, and they looked forward to that redemption taking place. Amen. And so Enoch walked by faith. The Bible said in John 1:11, we quoted it this morning, he came to his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. And so we know that Enoch had believed on the Lord. And Enoch trusted in the Lord. And Enoch walked with God, and he did that by faith. And so Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Now I believe Enoch was a saved man. I believe Enoch was a man of faith. And the Bible says that he was. Paul said that he was in the book of Hebrews. And so he had a testimony that that man lives by faith. And so without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't please God if you don't trust in him. You're not pleasing the Lord tonight if you're not trusting in the Lord. And I mean, you need to trust in him for your soul salvation, but you also, after you get saved, you need to trust in him to take care of you, protect you, feed and clothe and shelter you, and meet all those needs that you have. You need to trust in the Lord. All of us do. I mean, there's a lot of things in this life that you can't change, but God can. There's a lot of things, there's a lot of people's hearts that you can't correct and you can't change, but God can. There's a lot of circumstances that we'll face in our life that we can't undo, that we can't change, but God can. I mean, it looks, when we look through natural eyes and look at this old sinful world that we're living in and the way she's going, amen, you can get depressed. But if you'll look through God's eyes and look through the Word of God and trust in the Lord, amen, you can have some joy in your heart and your life even when all this junk's going on. Enoch had a lot to deal with in his life. I mean, he lived around some ungodly people. I mean, he lived around people that God said, it repenteth me that I made man upon the face of the earth. I wished I'd have never made him. That's the way people, that's how wicked the old world had gotten when God says, I'm sick of it. I wished I hadn't have made man on the face of the earth, and I'm going to destroy man from the face of the earth. Why, Enoch lived in such a society. We think we've got it bad now. What do you think it was like back then? They didn't have all the laws and stuff like we got today. I mean, it was dog eat dog. I mean, it was a very violent society. People murdering each other and stealing off of each other and beating each other up and things like that all the time. It was a very violent society. And Enoch still walked with God. Enoch still had his faith and trust in the Lord. And he is walking with God one day and God took him. Amen. Took him home to be with him. But he was walking with God in that wicked society. And I tell you what, we can still walk with God in a wicked world. We can still live with God in this society in which we live. We don't have to be a part of this world. We don't have to live like this world and act like this world. We can be different than the world and live for God. Even when everybody else has forsaken the Lord, amen, we can still live for God. If everybody forsakes the Lord, you still going to live for God? If your family turns against you, if your wife, your husband, your children turns against you, are you still going to live for God? You can do it if you'll walk by faith, if you'll trust in the Lord. What kind of faith do you have tonight? Amen? And so we see that Enoch had a testimony of walking by faith. Secondly, verse 22, the Bible says again, Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, begat sons and daughters. I want you to notice that Enoch walked with God. I see his walk of fellowship. Not only did he have a walk of faith, but he had a walk of fellowship. 300 years he fellowshiped with God. He was separate from sin, Satan, and the world, and walked with God. And how's your walk tonight? How's your faith tonight, but how's your fellowship with the Lord? Are you in fellowship with the Lord tonight? And by fellowship, I mean, are you able to talk with God any time during the day without having to say, oh God, forgive me this, forgive me that, forgive me this, forgive me that, I wish I hadn't done this, God have mercy on me. Are you able to go to the Lord right now and talk with him? Are you able to commune with him out of your heart right now and knowing that there's nothing between you and God? Enoch lived in such a state. He kept his sins confessed. He kept his heart right with God. And so he stayed in fellowship with the Lord. Because of his walk, the way he walked. He walked different than the rest of the world. He walked a different path than the rest of the world. The Bible said in Deuteronomy 5:33, "Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess." I believe that old Enoch walked in the ways that the Lord had commanded him. You say God commanded, I guarantee God commanded him. God spoke with audible voice to some of these earlier guys.
Right.
He talked with an audible voice to Adam, and he talked with an audible voice to Cain, and I'm convinced he talked with an audible voice to Noah. Now, he speaks through his spirit to you and I in this dispensation in which we're living. But I mean, God talked to them plainly. And Enoch obeyed the commandments of the Lord. He tried to please God and walked in the ways of the Lord. Are we walking in the ways of the Lord? Are we doing what this Bible tells us to do? That's the question tonight. Deuteronomy 10:12 says, "And now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, and to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul." And so we need to fear the Lord and walk in his ways and love him. I'm convinced that Enoch feared God, walked in the Lord's ways, and loved the Lord, and so he remained in fellowship with the Lord. The Bible said in Nehemiah 5:9, "Also I said, it is not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies?" The world is reproaching God tonight. We're living in a society that cusses God and makes fun of God, and which is ignorance and stupidity, and cause God's going to bring them to judgment. Amen. They're going to have to face that same God that they're making light of one of these days. Amen. And give an account of their sins before a holy and a just God. And God has the power of life and death. Amen. And one day he's going to tell those angels, bind them hand and foot and cast them into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But there's no fear of God before this wicked society in which we live. But Enoch was a man that feared God and loved God and walked in the commandments of the Lord. That's the way we ought to walk. Psalms 86:11 says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." We need God to teach us the way in which we should walk. I believe that Enoch was pliable in the hand of God. I believe he was like a piece of potter's clay in the hand of the potter. I believe that Enoch was pliable. God could teach him. God could lead him. God could instruct him, and he would follow the Lord. How many Christians today, so-called Christians, say, folk, do you know that is pliable in the hands of God, that is teachable? Everybody knows everything, and the preacher can't tell them nothing, amen, and no Christian can tell them nothing. They know what they're supposed to do, but they never do it, seemingly. They know what the Word of God says, but they never do it. Old Enoch was a man that, like David, he said, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth." What is the truth? The Word of God. "I'll walk in the light of the Word of God. I'll follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll do what you teach me to do." Enoch was such a man. That's why he stayed in fellowship with God. You can't get sin in your life. You can't be rebellious against the Lord and have fellowship with God. There's not a person in here that can rebel against the Lord and have fellowship with Him. It's like a child being rebellious against their parents. You can't have that right relationship, that good relationship you want to have with your children when they're rebellious. You got to be a disciplinarian. You got to correct that child. You got to teach that child. And that child gets to the place where they say, "Yes, sir, yes, ma'am." You tell them to do something, they say, "Yes, sir," and they head out and do it. That pleases that parent. and you have that good relationship, and there's no friction. The friction comes from rebellion, disobedience, not walking with the Lord, not walking in the light of the Word of God. Do we want God to teach us how we ought to walk? If He teaches us how to walk, are we willing to obey it, amen, and do it? Are we willing to walk in the truth? Are we willing for our heart to be united with God's? To be what God wants us to be? To have a heartbeat like God's, to hate what God hates and love what God loves. And if we hate what God hates and love what God loves, and when we unite our heart with God's, amen, then we walk in fellowship with Him. The Bible said in Proverbs 2:20 that thou mayest walk in the ways of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. You ought to look to people that's walking a good path and try to emulate that. You ought to look at people that's just like Paul said, you follow me as I follow the Lord. Amen. You ought not look at that saved person that's not living for God and not doing right, not walking in the light of the Word of God and trying to be like them, but you ought look at somebody that's living for God and say, well, I'd like to be like that too, amen. And walk like they're walking. But we have a greater to follow. The Lord Jesus Christ has left us some steps to follow. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. How's your walk? It's by faith. That means when you walk for God, when you live for God, it's by faith, not by sight. Things look bad. Don't think about things looking bad. Walk by faith. Don't look like it's going to happen. Live by faith. You're going by sight, not by faith. Don't look like we'll ever get out of this mess. You're living by sight, not by faith. I'm looking for the upper taker. Amen. I'm looking for the Lord to come and get me out of this mess. Amen. I'm not looking for Washington to meet all my needs.
Amen.
Amen. All Washington does is take, take, take. But there's one coming that's going to take me out of here. The Bible says in Romans 6:4, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I believe Enoch was a believer in the Lord. I believe he was saved. I believe he loved God with all of his heart. He walked in newness of life. 300 years. Enoch wasn't saved all of his life according to the scripture. He didn't walk with God 365 years. He lived 365 years, but says he walked with God 300 years. There's a lot of us in here, we wasn't saved at an early age. We didn't walk with God in our early years. But thank God there was a place in our life where we got born again and we started walking a different path. We started out living for God. I have decided, December 7, 1975, I had decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. As that old song goes, I decided in my heart the day that I asked the Lord to save me that I was going to live for Jesus the rest of my life. Without His grace and wisdom and help, I couldn't do that, but thank God He gives me grace and wisdom and help. The help I need, the grace of God. Now, the Bible says in Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Child of God ought to walk in the Spirit. That means the Spirit of God controls your life. He tells you what to do and you do it. He tells you what to say, you say it. Tells you where to go, you go. Amen. If the Holy Spirit is guiding and directing our life, and we're obedient to the Spirit of God and yielded to the Spirit of God, we'll be walking in the Spirit. And when we're walking in the Spirit, we're walking with the Lord. Bible says, Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God wants us to do good works. What's good? What is a good work? There's all kinds of good work, right? I mean, you can help a brother in need. You can help the poor. You can hand out gospel tracts and tell somebody how to be saved. You can do a lot of good things in this society. The Lord said, the poor have with you always, but me you have not always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. I mean, if you help an old bum on the street, amen, if God lays it on your heart to do so, and you have the ability to do so, and you help some poor person out and put some shoes on an orphan child or help some orphanage or whatever, amen, that's a good work. We ought to do good works. Good works don't save us, but we're saved unto good works. Colossians 4:5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. You better use some wisdom, spiritual wisdom, amen, when you're walking with those that are without. We need to walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Don't walk with those that are without, but as we walk toward them that are without, we need to have the wisdom of God. And wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. 1 John 1:6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, with who? God, with the Lord. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We can't be walking in darkness and have fellowship with God. Enoch didn't walk in darkness, spiritual darkness. He walked in the light with the Lord. He walked with God. He did good works. He was a good believer in the Lord. Amen. He was a good brother in the Lord. And walked with God for 300 years. You say, I've been living for the Lord 25 years. And man, I can't hardly take it no more. I'm ready to get out of this mess. I've been saved, I don't know how long I've been saved. This 75, I've got to count it up. Amen. 33 years, whatever it is. Going on 34 years, whatever it is. And it seems like a long time. But you imagine 300 years walking with God in a wicked, very wicked society. Standing for God, walking with God every day of your life, and people laughing at you and mocking you and cussing you and lying about you and trying to destroy you all the time. For 300 years, Enoch walked with God. 2 John 1:6, and this is love, that we walk after His commandments. And this is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. What's the commandment? Love. Well, Enoch walked the commandments of God. So we see his faith, his walk of faith, and then we see his walk of fellowship. Thirdly, I'd like to look at his walk of the future hope. I believe that Enoch had hope. The Bible said in Jude 1:14, Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Enoch prophesied. Now this is the seventh generation, the seventh man from Adam, before the flood, and he's a prophesier. Wonder where he got that prophecy from. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. But Enoch prophesied of these saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Not talking about his first coming to bleed and die on the cross. He's talking about coming back to the earth, setting up a kingdom. Back before the flood, Enoch's prophesying about that. When you walk with God, God will give you some insight into some stuff. When you walk with God, God will give you some wisdom. When you walk with God, God can use you as he did Enoch. Enoch was a prophet. And Enoch had a hope in his heart. Titus 2:13, Paul said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul's blessed hope was the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Enoch had the same hope. He prophesied that the Lord is coming with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on this earth, amen, before the flood. So he had a hope in his heart of the Lord's coming. You won't live for God very long if you don't have no hope. The word hope means confidence in a future event. The highest degree of well-founded expectation of good as hope founded in God's gracious promises. Faith is trusting in the promises. The hope is knowing that those promises are coming to pass. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When God promises something, it gives us a hope if we have faith in that promise. When God gives me a promise that he's coming again to take us out of this old society in which we live, and he may be coming soon, amen, it gives me hope.
Amen.
When Jesus said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there you may be also. That gives me hope that he may come today. 1 Corinthians 15:51. The Bible says, Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We're not all going to die physically. And he's talking to Christians at Corinth. He said, we're not all going to sleep, but we shall all be changed. Every child of God is going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall, that's a problem, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. He uses that word shall a lot there. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Because of these things, Paul says, don't quit working for God. Don't quit believing in God. Don't quit going for God, but be ye steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because we have a blessed hope. How could Enoch continue on in a wicked society for 300 years walking with God? He had a blessed hope in his heart. That blessed hope was realized in Enoch's life. And if you believe in Bible typology, Enoch is a type of the church. Noah and his family is a type of Israel, going through judgment, but being saved. Enoch was taken out before Noah, and his family was spared. Enoch was walking with God one day, next moment he's gone. He's a type of the church. The church ought to be walking with God, living by faith, fellowshipping with the Lord, with a blessed hope in their heart that soon He's coming. 1 Thessalonians 4:15 says, "For this we send you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven." Now, again, Paul's using that term, shall, He's coming. Amen. He shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Paul used that little word shall and must a lot in 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And those are promises. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise. I got saved on that promise. When the Bible says that He shall come, these things shall happen, they shall take place. It's a fact. It's going to happen. A person that's living by faith believes it, and because of that belief, we have a blessed hope in our heart. You believe Christ is coming? You say, "I don't know." Well, I believe He's coming.
Amen.
I believe He may come tonight.
Right.
Amen. You say, "Preacher, are you everything you ought to be all the time?" Nope. But I have a blessed hope in my heart. I try to walk in fellowship with the Lord. If I do get something in my heart, I confess it to Him. Ask God to forgive me of it. I don't know how many times I asked the Lord to forgive me this past week. How many times you asked the Lord to forgive you this past week? But I see my faults. I see that I fail. I see that I come short. And I don't want to come short. I don't want to fail. I don't want to falter. But I do sometimes. I ask the Lord to forgive me. You ever say a word to somebody and wish you hadn't said it? And you go to that person and say, "I'm sorry. I wish I hadn't said that word. Wish I hadn't said it in that way." Do something to somebody. You go to them and say, "I wish I hadn't done that. I'm sorry about that. Would you forgive me?" That's why we need to go to God. We do something that's contrary to this Bible, we need to go to the Lord and say, "Father, I'm sorry that I did that. Sorry I thought that. Sorry I acted in that way. Lord, forgive me of that. Would you please wash my sins away and restore my fellowship with you?" I guarantee you, Enoch had to do that a lot. Why? Because he's a sinner saved by grace just like me and you. Enoch was no different than you and I. Noah was no different than you and I. Abraham was no different than you and I. But they lived by faith. They loved God. They stayed faithful to the Lord in wicked societies. And Abraham lived around wicked people all the time. And Noah lived around wicked people all the time. And Enoch lived around wicked people all the time. And they held their integrity and they had character. And they walked with God. They lived for God, was faithful to God in a wicked society. And if they could do it by the grace of God, we can do it too. Is it not true that everybody's a sinner? Is it not true that Abraham and Noah and Job and Jacob and all of them David and all of them were sinners saved by grace, and yet they lived for God and stayed in fellowship with God? And David got out of fellowship with God one time and he got back, got right, didn't he? Walked with God several more years. But Enoch walked with God 300 years. We see his walk of hope, future hope. Enoch was ready to go with the Lord when the Lord came, when He came to him. Are we ready to go to be with the Lord when He comes? If the Lord came tonight and was caught up into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, would we be ashamed at His appearing? I don't want to be ashamed. I don't want the Lord to catch me in some kind of sin doing something that I shouldn't be doing when He comes. That may happen, but I hope it don't. I'd hate for the Lord to catch me out of church this morning if I was saved by the grace of God, unless I was deathly sick, had to be at work. Some people don't have to be at work. They choose to be at work. But some people do have to be at work. If I need a police officer this morning, I'd hope somebody would be working. If I needed to go to the emergency room, I was bleeding to death, I'd hope there'd be some kind of doctor or nurse there to sew me up. Sometimes there's a need for somebody to be working, I guess. But I'd hate for the Lord to come, me be sitting on a bar stool somewhere drinking a Bud Dummer, Miller Lowlife or something like that. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you hate the Lord to come and you not be doing right? And you have to look into those flaming eyes, knowing that He knows everything about you. Yet He come to take you home. Some people's going to be ashamed when He comes. I don't want to be ashamed. Enoch wasn't ashamed. I guarantee you Enoch wasn't ashamed. Why? Because he is walking with God. He was walking with God, living by faith, doing the will of God in his life, had that blessed hope in his heart. Lord, I know you're coming one day. I can't wait for you to get here. When you going to take me home to be with you? And the Lord said, one day, come on home with me, ain't it? Come on home with me, ain't it? God translated him. Didn't see death, the Bible says. I'll conclude. In order to be ready when the Lord comes, you need to be saved, first and foremost. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Now persuade, he's able to keep those things which I committed unto him against that day." Have you committed your soul unto the Lord? You give your soul to the Lord, give your life to the Lord, trusted in him with all your heart? If any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. We preached on that this morning. To be ready to go be with the Lord, you must be saved. If you're not saved, you're left behind. Die in your sins and go to hell. We need to be serving. The Lord wants to come tonight. Are you serving the Lord? The Lord said in Matthew 24:42, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is that faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all of his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he's not aware, shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. 1 John 2:28, "Now little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Abide in the Lord. What does that mean? Walk with him like Enoch did. Walk in fellowship with him. Stay with the Lord. Stay right with the Lord. Every day of your life, stay right with the Lord. Every day of your life, have fellowship with him. Every day of your life, confess your sins to him. Be led of the Spirit. Those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, the Bible says. Walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, when the Lord comes, you need to be saved and serving. Separated. You need to be separated. Enoch was separated. He wasn't isolated. He was separated. He lived in the world, but he wasn't part of the world. The church is in the world, but the church should not be part of the world in the sense that we should not live like the world lives. We should not conduct ourselves the way the world conducts themselves. You shouldn't get drunk like them, cuss like them, lie like them, steal like them, murder like them, kill like them. You know, you shouldn't be like the world. Enoch wasn't a violent man. Say, how you know that? Because he walked with God. Enoch wasn't a liar. He didn't practice lying. He wasn't a thief. He didn't practice thievery. Can't walk with God and do those things. He was a separated man. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now that's pretty plain, amen. We're not to yoke up with unbelievers. You ought not date them. You ought not marry them. You ought not go in business with them. You ought not do much with them at all. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship? That don't mean you shouldn't witness to them. That don't mean you shouldn't be friendly toward them. That don't mean you shouldn't pray for them. That means that you don't run with them. You don't go play pool with them. You don't drink with them. You don't steal with them. You don't go hurt somebody with them. When they're making fun of God and cussing God, and you separate from that garbage, you get away from that. When they're telling their dirty jokes, you separate from that. You get away from that. You may have to rebuke them. You may have to walk away from it. But we're to be separate from them. Touch not the unclean thing. The Bible said, what did he say here? Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, I'll be their God, they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, will be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. God said he'd receive us. God said, I'll call you my sons and daughters. If you separate yourself from that wicked crowd and live differently than them, I won't be ashamed of you. You want the blessings of God on your life? You live for God. You walk with God, stay in fellowship with God, and separate from the wicked crowd. There's a lot of places that I couldn't go with friends and loved ones after I got saved. Every time somebody has a family reunion, they'll have it on the Lord's Day. If they're unsaved. And even some saved people sometimes will have it on the Lord's Day. They don't need to invite me because I won't be there.
Right.
Somebody dies and they want to bury them on Sunday, I won't be at the funeral. I'll let the dead bury the dead. Don't matter what it's mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, amen. They can bury who they want to on the Lord's Day. I'm going to the house of God. You say, preacher, that don't sound right. If they want to bury my loved ones on the Lord's Day and I can't do nothing about it, amen, they'll just have to bury them. I'm not going to go to the graveyard on Sunday and miss the house of God. That's how much I believe you ought to be in the house of God on the Lord's Day. You ought to be different than the world. World, I mean, you get out here on Sunday now. I remember when you get out on Sunday, you might not meet a car going down the road for a while. Why? Because everybody's at home resting. You listen, I'm talking about lost people. Where I grew up, even lost people stayed home on Sunday and rested. God's people went to church, come home and rested. They wasn't going to the factories and going to the malls, and malls wasn't open. They didn't have no malls. And the stores that they had was closed on the Lord's Day. They wasn't selling no alcohol. They wasn't selling nothing on the Lord's Day. And if you didn't go to church on the Lord's Day, you sat at the house and rested, because there wasn't nothing else to do if you was lost. You'd go down. I remember as a kid walking down the road on the Lord's Day and hear gospel music coming out of houses everywhere, playing that God, preaching and gospel music and all kinds of stuff being played on the Lord's Day after church. I knew them folks was worshiping the Lord, even though I was a lost sinner. Now, you can go out in Tucson today, and you can't get around town. There's so much traffic. Everybody's going everywhere. Every store is open. Factories are open. Everything's open on the Lord's Day. All the beer joints are open. All the liquor houses open on the Lord's Day. People getting drunk. People are living for the flesh and for the devil. And there's no difference from the Lord's Day and the rest of the week anymore. But there ought to be a difference in the child of God's life. They ought to be at the house of God on the Lord's Day worshiping the Lord. Say, I don't like that, preacher. Well, that's too tough. Amen. If you're saved by the grace of God, you ought to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's Day. In fact, every time the church doors is open, the church is meeting together, you ought to be there if at all possible. Every Bible service, every prayer meeting, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night that you can be there, you ought to be there. You say, I've got plans to do this, and I've got plans to do that. Well, you're making the wrong plans. Amen. Your priorities are wrong. The priorities of a lot of people is wrong today. They do what they please on the Lord's Day instead of pleasing the Lord on the Lord's Day. I know people won't listen to a radio, won't watch TV, won't read a newspaper on the Lord's Day. Why? Because they're trying to honor the Lord on the Lord's Day. My children never went nowhere on the Lord's Day. They didn't go out to play on the Lord's Day. You say, that's pretty hard, preacher. I want my children to know there was a difference between Sunday and the rest of the week. Sunday is a different day than the rest of the week. It should be a day of rest for the people of God, a day when they come to worship God and praise the Lord, amen. And it shouldn't be like the rest of the week. A lot of folks don't like that, but that's what I believe with all my heart. I go to church, I eat my dinner, I take me a nap, I get up and get prayed up and get ready, come back to church and worship the Lord again. I've been doing that for 33 years since the Lord saved me. I enjoy it. I really enjoy it. I love to be here. I'm glad I'm here tonight. You say, well, you're the one doing the preaching. Now, if I wasn't doing the preaching, I'd still be glad to be here. I wasn't doing the preaching this past week, and I still enjoyed it. In fact, I enjoyed it more than I do standing up here preaching. Wouldn't bother me at all to sit there and let my pastor, Preacher Raines, preach for me for a month straight. Amen. I could hear him preach for a month. I'd be here every night of the week. I'd soak her up. I love it. If we're going to be ready when the Lord comes, we've got to be doing what the Lord is pleased with. If I'm down at the ball field playing softball on the Lord's Day when He comes, amen, I'm going to be ashamed. When I need to be over at the house of God worshiping Him and getting a message from Him, getting help from Him. You ought to be separate from the world. There's a lot to separation. I mean, some people are really separated, some people not so separated. We ought to be separated. We ought to have some kind of separation. I believe we ought to be really separated. When the fashions change, you shouldn't change with the fashions of the world. Does your hairstyle change every time the world's hairstyle changes? That makes me sick. Some people come in church and their hair looks like everybody else in the world. Their dress looks like everybody else in the world. People don't come to the house of God dressed right, and they're not. I got to get off this, amen. I'll get to meddling in a minute. Bothers me. If it bothers me, I'm sure it bothers the Lord. I mean, I'm not a super-duper Christian, amen. And some of these things bother me. Can you imagine a holy God, what he thinks? Enoch was a man that walked with God. 300 years, Enoch walked with the Lord. He walked in faith. He walked in hope. He had fellowship with the Lord continually. One day God took him. Come on home, Enoch. Guarantee you wasn't ashamed. I'm glad he's glad to be home. And out of this old wicked world, the wicked world in which he lived. One day the Lord's coming. What's he going to find you doing? He's going to find you serving him, living for him, faithful to him. Is he going to find you astray? Are you going to be ashamed when the Lord comes? Let's stand to our feet tonight, and we'll ask Brother Sean to come and Margaret for the piano. Say, preacher, you ought to preach this message when everybody's here. I haven't seen everybody here in 6 months. If I could get everybody here for one service, I'd probably have a heart attack and die. I'd probably fall over. It's a miracle. I think one time in the 15 years I've been here, we've had everybody here at one time. One time. That's a shame. And I know there's times that everybody could have been here. I know people get sick. I know some folks have to work. I know that people die. I know that things happen. You fall off a roof and things like that. Things happen, you know. But wouldn't it be a blessing to have everybody here at the same time? God help us, amen. Be what we ought to be for the Lord. Amen. Brother Sean, you come.